What do will I do for fun and optional health? What will I do for fun and optional health? Optimum health. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing in Campo, California, enjoying optional and optimum health. What will I do for fun and optimum health? Well, the first thing I would do would get the Roto-Rooter going and Roto-Root out all of the stuff in me that is not beneficial to me. I would go to my dentist and I'd have all the plaque taken off my teeth. I'd brush my teeth regularly every day to make sure that my teeth are perfect, my gums are healthy. Yeah. And so I would also do this very silly thing. I would eat the recommended foods that are healthy for me. I would eat the recommended foods that are healthy for me. Not what magazines write about. Not what promoters of drugs and promoters of health food things write about. But what the medical profession writes about, if you will, even that is suspect. But think about it. We are not concerned about what goes into the body, but what comes out. But we eat things that are harmonious with us. When food is a symptom of irritation or a symptom of frustration, and we eat excessively, when we don't get our own way, and the first thing we do is to go and raid the refrigerator and have a big bowl of ice cream or something else like that, we are not controlling ourselves. We are not doing what is fun and for optimum health. Optimum health means one thing. I am master of my habit. And as master of my habit, I eat only that which is beneficial for me, the amount and so forth. I drink only that which is beneficial for me, the type of substance it is. And, you know, I'm amused by this here, and it still goes on. It goes on in the best houses in the world, and the worst. When I was a kid, we always had fun showing how we could take a penny or a dime and put it on a plate and then pour Coke on top of it and watch the Coke eat the penny or the dime away, dissolve it. You understand? We would watch how the Coke would dissolve a coin, a metal coin. And still we drank that stuff, not thinking that it was doing the same thing to our stomach, the same thing to the food that we put in us. Now, was that intelligent? Was that something known to everyone? Yes, it was known to everyone. It was common knowledge. They talked about it on the radio. They talked about it in every other in newspapers and stuff. And in Believe It or Not, Robert Ripley, it says it takes so many minutes for a coin to be dissolved, you know, with Coke. Now, interesting, isn't it? Now, it's so obvious and it's so detrimental. The hydrochloric acid in our stomach truly is very strong also. But when you add to it the Coke and the hydrochloric acid, theoretically they should do the same thing. Now, is that fun? Well, you don't know the difference, apparently. You don't have a reaction in your body, you know. And is it optimum health? Well, anything you put in your mouth which is not for your benefit. It's not for your optimum health. Why is it that we keep dogs from eating everything they find on the street? Why is it we keep children from eating everything they find anywhere they find it? Into the mouth. First thing, into the mouth. Has to be checked out, into the mouth. You know. And why don't children die by the score from picking up silly things that they eat and hurt themselves with? You know? Because the children don't have that attitude. Oh, Herb, come on now. You know. No, they don't have that attitude. Do dogs think that it could hurt them? Now, when someone purposely poisons some meat and leaves it out, and a dog eats it and then dies, that's an unusual thing, wouldn't you say? The dogs usually can tell if the meat is not digestible, and they like meat that's been lying around for a while. They like it when it gets a little ripe, but we don't. And does a dog have a better nose than we do, so to speak? And you'd think that he would know. overripe meat, like the special cheese, what's that, Limburger cheese, you know. Ooh, real strong. They don't mind that. They don't mind that because their nose must tell them that that's not bad. That's special. And there are some people with noses like that too, people who like Limburger cheese and other things of that nature. What will I do for fun and optimum health? Well, the first thing I do for fun and optimum health is to say, I like me. I like me, 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 a million, zillion, trillion, billion times. And as you say that, then you act upon it. You act upon it. Now, think of this here. You have just bought a brand new car. What's the first thing you do to your brand new car? You polish it. It's already polished. It's already beautiful. It's already store new, you know, factory new. But you polish it. And when you take it out for a drive, you dust off any dust that might have gotten on your maiden drive, you know. And you only put the best gasoline in it. You don't go to the cheapo stations. You go to the good stations, you know. And you buy the good gas because you think the cheapo stations don't have good gas in them. And perhaps they don't. And perhaps they do. But you want to put everything that's good for the car. Then you buy only the best motor oil, at least for the first month or so. You do everything perfect. You care for it. You love it. And somebody sits against your car with dirty suit. Don't sit on my car or near my car with your dirty clothes on, you know. Now, why is it we don't do that for our own self? Now, a little baby is never concerned about dirt. A little baby, I love Rex. Rex goes outside, big golden retriever that he is, 5 months old. He goes outside, he digs. He digs a hole to China in 5 seconds. And then he comes out of the hole, and he is dirty. He is dirty, dirty, dirty. And by the time he walks 30 feet from his hole to the house, he's clean. Now, how did that happen? Well, the dirt wasn't wet. And so it just fell off him. And it just, his hair just sort of like worked the hair, the dirt down so that it went away from him. And if you were to take a towel and rub him after he had come into the house from being out in the dirt, you'd find very little dirt. Very little dirt. Now, how does he do that? I mean, now, you take yourself. And you go out there and you work, and the dirt sticks to your hands and to your clothes, and you come in the house and you're dragging dirt all over every place, because that's your attitude. That's your attitude. Now, we have studied in the life teachings of the Masters of the Far East a statement that they have made. And Baird Spaulding was walking with the Masters, who were wearing white clothing, and Baird was wearing his normal travel clothing. And he said to the Masters, how come you guys have no dirt hanging on you? How come you don't get dirty? We walk this, look at me, I'm all dusty and dirty. You guys, you're just clean as a whistle. And the master said to him, we cannot conceive how one speck of God's substance can cling to another speck of God's substance where it's not wanted. Where it's not wanted. Do you have the ability to experience that yourself? Do you have the ability to do that? And the answer is no. You don't have the ability to do that until you build the consciousness that allows for such a thing. You can be sure the master's had a consciousness of all dirt is all substance is doing whatever it's supposed to do. And I like my clothes white and clean, and not the word clean, but white and beautiful, and so they are. And when you, or Baird Spaulding, walk through the Himalayan mountains, through the dusty trails, you absorb the dust. And that's just the way it is. That's just the way it is. Now, think about these things. Are you having fun and living with optimum health? If you are, it's because you have the optimum idea in you of what health is. Oh, I hurt. All this pain. All that pain. You know, you say that. And you're dead. The moment you say, oh, that pain, you acknowledge it, you empower it, and you experience it. Now, if you ever have a pain, you say, I'm home for it. I'm home for it. I'm home for it. Instantly, instantly, instantly. And the pain has no invitation to stay. You understand that? The pain has no invitation to stay. Ingeborg, what do you think of that? Do you think the pain has no indication to stay?
Yes.
It has no indication to stay. And what gives pain an indication to stay?
The self.
When we acknowledge it, when we think about it, when we are aware of it, then the pain thinks, oh, I'm welcome there. Now, do any of you have the guts to say to a baby that is left on your porch and that is in a basket and you don't know where it came from or where it's been, you know, or what it's doing? Is the first thing you do to take it in the house? The first thing you should do is rush it to the hospital. Take it to the hospital and give it to them and say, somebody left this baby on my doorstep. And they will instantly give the baby a complete check over to see if the baby has AIDS, to see if the baby has any problems that need to be instantly looked into. Well, it might be thirsty, it might be hungry. It will survive. It will survive. You get that baby to the house. You do not take it into your house. But we would take it into our house because we're people who love. We love babies. We love people. That's terrible not to take it in the house. Did you ever read the Bible? Did you ever read it? Did you ever read the story of the Good Samaritan? What did he do? He had the man taken to a nearby hotel, and he paid for the man's stay in the hotel and for whatever medication he needed. And he told the hotel owner, if it costs more than I have given you, let me know and I will pay the rest. But the man did not take him into his home. He did not take that person and his problem into his home. He did not ignore the man. He did not help him. He helped him, but he did not take him into his home. You see, this is what we have to learn. We do not take things into our home. Now, Ellen often works with the employees who come here to do jobs for us. And she or Ingeborg or, and Sylvia usually sit outside with the person. They don't bring them in the house. Now, ostensibly, they don't bring them in the house because they have dirty feet. And they don't have to take off their shoes that way. Okay? But actually, you don't bring them in the house because you don't want anyone in your house, in your vibrations, who is not 100% going the path that you're going. We have people who want to come to campus every day. People who'd love to come up here and just live on campus and enjoy the vibrations here. And we say no. If you are an active student, you may come. If you are visiting a seminar, you may come. If you are into our philosophy in some way, you may come. But hey, otherwise you're not welcome. You're not welcome in my house if you don't delight in my family and in my philosophy of life. You understand? You don't open the front door of your house and say, hey world, come on in. As much as the world may be loved by you, you don't do that. Sister Teresa never took any sick person or any person needing help into her home. She had a hospital. She went into their homes, but she never took them into her home. Jesus never took anyone into his home, did he? Well, he didn't have a home. That's right, so he didn't take anybody in his home. And it's true. Now, we do not invite anyone into our world who is not harmonious with us. We do not do that. And when we do that, we give them the right to judge us, the right to think bad thoughts about us, even though we're doing everything as we understand it as good. So be real careful. If you want to, what will I do for fun and optimum health? If you want fun and optimum health, keep your consciousness clear. Keep your house clear. Keep your body clear. Can you imagine a person who is in the business of being a prostitute? She takes any man who comes along, any man who has whatever condition of his body or any condition of his mind or soul, and accepts that into her being. You know, I mean, that is the ultimate of messing yourself up. Now, a lot of women stop being prostitutes and they start being mothers or whatever, but in their mind, they have always got that situation where they sold themselves for whatever purpose it was. Now, does a person have to do anything anytime? No, you can die. But a person doesn't have to die. You don't create yourself in that situation. You don't create yourself in any situation which is not harmonious, salubrious, with your optimum health. You don't create anyone in your world who is not fun to be with. You only create those in your world who think and believe and live like you do. Because that's all that matters. That's all that matters. You are you. Now, if you're bad, then you're yourself and you're bad. If you're good, yourself and you're good. We're not judging that. We're just saying, if you are bad, invite all the bad people you want in your house. That's okay. That's harmonious with who you are. If you're good, well, then you don't want to invite the bad people in your world, the people who are having problems and the people who are have not yet found themselves. You invite the people who are on the path of finding themselves. And then you have a wonderful, glorious Ingeborg experience where you are just wonderful, where you are just fantastic. Now, Ingeborg, Ellen has said to you that since you are the oldest person here, and since you are considered senile in certain ways, that you cannot stay awake, that she has asked you if you would write on paper what you're listening to, and that this might help you concentrate. Now, do you want to be called senile?
No.
Do you want to be called the oldest person here?
No.
Then don't act that way.
No.
Don't act that way. And don't fall asleep all the time. You listen to the movies and you're wide awake. You're driving your car and you're wide awake. You're in a great discussion and you're wide awake. But when you're just sitting listening to a lecture, sometimes you can drift away. That can happen to anybody. But you do it all the time, and so you want to put a different cause in motion. What's the new cause you're going to put in motion? I'm wide awake, alert, enthusiastic about life. Sounds good? I'm wide awake, alert, enthusiastic about life. And how do I ensure that I stay wide awake, alert, enthusiastic about life? I do my knitting, or I do my writing. Now, do you have knitting needles?
Yeah.
Have you ever knitted before?
Yes.
Then perhaps that's what you want to do. But what you don't want to do is you don't want to sleep. Because when you sleep in front of a person who's speaking, you make that person feel very ignored, you know. And finally the person says, well, why bother talking at all, you know. So be that way. And if you have a bad feeling inside of your heart over something you're going through, and you put that emotion forward and that poutiness forward on your attitude, don't. It makes it difficult for the speaker to have a harmonious show for you. Now, if I were a normal speaker, I would not come back to an audience that was sleeping, would I? But since I am in a different position here with you, I come back day after day. Now, when I'm around, we saw the movie the other night. What was the name of that one?
Mr. Holland's Opus.
Huh?
Mr. Holland's Opus.
Mr. Holland's Opera.
Opus.
His opus. What he did, he wrote the music. Well, when he first started teaching, the class all slept because he was teaching fundamentally without any imagination. Then as he got interested in his subject and he sought ways to make the subject interesting to the students became so excited about his class, they didn't want to miss it. And they were no longer sleeping in his class, they were wide awake. So maybe I should make my talks more interesting, have a few fireworks and things like that going on. What will I do for fun and optimum health? Well, I will be careful what I let in my mind, in my body, in my world, and what I shine out. So, have a wonderful day. Know that the thought for today is yours to use, to live, and enjoy. I love you. I love you. I love you.
I love you.